In 10 days, we'll have the opportunity to make our convictions known about candidates and state propositions. Most significantly, Proposition 8. It adds an amendment to the state constitution that says only marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in California. Many people wonder, who cares? God cares. And each person who believes in God and the Bible will take a stand for godliness. They also care. It's not care for a tradition. It's care for people. People who are created in God's image. Friends, family members, care for their soul's relationship to God and for the eternal effects of their actions. But why does God care? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 to 11 says that homosexual activity, among other sins, is wickedness to God, and it will prevent a person from having a part in God's kingdom. This would include homosexual marriage. But why? Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 through 24 answers that. First, God's idea of a suitable helper for the man Adam was a woman, Eve. Second, God, not man, created marriage. Third, he created marriage as a sacred relationship between a man, a woman, and God. Marriage of a man and woman is central to God's plan. Its sacred nature is closely linked to the power of procreation. Only a man and a woman together have the God-designed ability to conceive children. In Genesis 18, verses 20 through 21, God says, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The verses that follow show that God wanted to spare these cities, but grievous sin had to be dealt with. At least part of their sin is revealed in Genesis 19, verses 1 through 11, as homosexuality. God destroyed those cities because of such grievous sin. In Leviticus 18, God told Israel to avoid sexual relations that were detestable to him, defiling them, making them filthy and impure, severing their relationship to God. Among those detestable sexual relations, verse 22 cites homosexuality. God told his people in Leviticus 20, verse 13, that such detestable acts are punishable by death. Warning his beloved Israel about this, God said in Leviticus chapter 18 and verses 24 through 30, "Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you became defiled. Even the land was defiled. So I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. But you must keep my decrees and my laws. The native-born and the alien living among you must not do any of these detestable things, for all these things were done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land became defiled. And if you defile the land, it will vomit you out as it vomited out the nations that went before you. Everyone who does any of these detestable things, such persons must be cut off from their people. Keep my requirements, and do not follow any of the detestable customs that were practiced before you came, and do not defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God." With this background of the practices of ungodly people, Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 through 32 tells how people reject God. It begins as godless, wicked people suppress God's truth to promote their wisdom and desires. As a result, Romans 1 and verses 24 through 27 tell us, "Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. These verses contain strong, unmistakable verdict words of a judge. These actions are sinful, sexually impure, degrading, shameful, unnatural, indecent, perverted. And there is a penalty for such acts given by the judge, and that judge is God. Then comes the sad commentary that God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done, as they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. It concludes, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. There's no joy in these verses, but great sadness of God, who created such people in His image. But they have rejected Him. They've rejected His wisdom. They've rejected His care for their well-being. They've rejected His loving relationship. They've done so that they could live in their own image. John Piper has remarked about this text, "This exchange, women exchanging men for other women, men exchanging women for other men, is an image and echo of man's exchange of the glory of God for images like man himself. When the glory of God ceases to be our supreme treasure, that distortion will be expressed in distortions of our sexual pleasure. And homosexuality is just one of the disordered forms that exchanging God leads to, and not the only one." Given all of this, there are two biblical reasons why homosexual marriage cannot exist. First, God's will for marriage was expressed in creation, as Jesus himself confirmed in Matthew chapter 19 and verses 4 through 6 when he said, "Haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate.'" Second, since homosexual action is consistently described in the Bible in the most God-cursed terms, homosexual marriage is not acceptable to God. All of God's consistent teachings are why we must care about Proposition 8 and vote yes for it. If it is not added to our state constitution, homosexual marriage will be legal in California, but there will be more consequences. For one, children in public schools will be taught that both traditional marriage and same-sex marriage are normal and must be accepted. And that is happening right now. Secondly, churches will be sued if they refuse to allow same-sex marriage ceremonies in their religious buildings that are open to the public. And that has happened at this very time in other states. Thirdly, religious adoption agencies will be forced by government agencies to place children in heterosexual and homosexual homes or close. And that has happened in the state of Massachusetts, where homosexuality and homosexual marriage are validated. And fourth, ministers who preach against same-sex marriages will be sued for hate speech and could be fined by the government. Proposition 8 directly challenges the beliefs and practices of Christians. If it does not pass, God's biblical teachings and practices won't change, even if our freedom to express them does change. If we're faithful to God's will, His church will endure to accomplish His purposes, and He will be victorious. We must maintain Christ's humble attitude in this matter and be truly respectful of all people. We cannot stand for godliness while acting ungodly. We must convey God's great love for all people as we stand firmly for God's truth. Are you standing for human wisdom, or are you standing for godliness? This is a time when we need to think about the choices that we're making and the stands that we're taking. What is the basis on which we're taking them? Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11, that despite our sins, God can change us by washing, sanctifying, and justifying us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He wants all people to be saved from the penalty of their sins. Do you believe in God's loving wisdom? Are you saved by God from your sins?